There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
Hello, my friend. It's been some time since we've been together on a podcast, and Greg and I spoke last night, and I was thinking of him earlier today when I looked at some of the scripture passages for this week, the week after Easter. Greg suggested that a word that we might reflect on, that I may take time with, was the word recognize, or recognition. Greg, in I think his own reading of the scriptures, possibly came upon the Wednesday gospel from Luke 24:13-35, April 15th, but it may have been any one of the others, because each time people are trying to figure out who is this anyway, or why is the grave empty, there are all these attempts to understand, to see, to somehow recognize in what's going on a pattern that might have been told them by someone before, part of their tradition, or their own reasoning. It's interesting to me that when we think about it, the word recognize is so significant. It's so different than resignation. And the other echoed out for me a little bit. Someone who is resigned doesn't really see oftentimes. They, I think, give up on seeing or recognizing. And we become someone who has a... put aside the possibility. We become resigned. We step back. Easter asks us to go forward and enter the world, and you and I are living in, and some of us have emerged already, possibly, from a world of pandemic illness, a world that's been crossed over differently than war or other terrors, to the terror of in the radical sense of it, a simple protein virus, which has wreaked havoc with body after body in the hundreds of thousands. And yet, as you've probably read or followed some of this, or maybe been one of the caregivers, and I thank you for everyone, we've recognized in this our capacity to care for each other. And we've recognized again, I think, ways to become unified and healed as a nation, for ways in which we have been broken, maybe for a long time, but certainly in recent years, and unable to reach out and help each other out. And now we are. Like today, when the governors of a number of the states got together and having been working together of beginning to talk about ways in which their people, the people of the states, the economy, the works, the jobs, the health and well-being of people can emerge together. It's so exciting to think that this is true, and this is going on as, for me, a post-Easter celebration of the Lord who came and gave us the power to make a difference. But we need to recognize that about ourselves. If we become resigned to the fact, well, there's not much I can do, we miss the foolish possibility of asking the question again, what might I do? Greg and I both treasure, as other friends of ours who traveled to Assisi, and Greg Lacamelli made it there with us as when he was a college student, and the beautiful outcry of Francis when he began to realize that God was merciful and loving, that he was Christ, the one who did rise from the dead, and he said, Lord, what would you have me do? Standing before a crucifix and possibly overwhelmed by the suffering of that one, more so he is overwhelmed by the life that that one has given us, that Christ, the anointed one of God. So in my enthusiasm, I'd invite us to take our time in this post-Easter time to recognize in the various places we've been and the people we've been with, the God who is coming alive. At a time when death seems to stalk us from a grocery store or a simple place of commerce or another place of passage or a counter that was contaminated, our God walks with us right now. He invites us to walk with each other, not resigned to the past or that which is falling apart in our midst or the continuation of an illness, but an ability to somehow rally and find ways forward, to recognize the strength and giftedness of each other, to recognize the movement of grace. What a foolish thing. I mean, to live in a world that has trouble with that image. It's not quantifiable, not measurable, and I don't have a photograph of it. But I believe in grace, alive and active in us, and given to us by the life-giving God. It is God's life. We'd say, what is it? Is it another commodity? No. It's an outpouring power and presence of God in us that allows us to stand up, rise up, live well, and benefit others. The passage of Luke is quite fascinating because the two that Jesus meets on the road get into a tussle with him, wondering, don't you know what happened in Jerusalem? And someone might have said to you or I, if we hadn't read the papers in a while or listened to the radio or gone to the TV, don't you know what's going on in our cities? Don't you know what's going on in, you know, across the... And the environment and the happenings can shake us significantly. Jesus listens to them and then in that unfolding speaks to them from the deep sense of their faith in ours, that God would send a Messiah, that the Christ would come, the Anointed One, that he would be the fulfillment of God's eternal but ongoing and traveling with his people promise, that a God not resigned to our confusion recognizes us as his own and comes to us and stays with us forever. A simple practice that might be yours, and it has been mine in the time that we've had here at the mountain and the other brothers, is to take a little more time in quiet, to value the scriptures as a place even to pause. You may go look for that reading or another one. You may have your favorite, either an Easter or post-Easter reading. Jesus regularly stepped aside and prayed in quiet. Earlier on, this little bit of a reflection was going to really talk about the person of Christ and the radical sense of presence that we know in other people, and then the practices that come forth. I love alliteration. And the practices of Jesus that we might recognize were, interestingly enough, his stepping away to step back in again. And maybe that's some of what this time is about. That we step off to the desert of our own lives, to a mountaintop or a chair nearby or a bench in the backyard. Or, as I say, sometimes we park the car and sit behind the wheel a little bit longer and let the light of God illumine our hearts, to recognize the movement of God's grace with us, to see the pattern in another person of presence and practice, and then in our own way to offer that to others as well. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Greg Glicamelli and I and the whole mountain community just pray for you and with you, for others who are still enduring this very, very difficult time. And in whatever time you're listening to us and to this, the difficulties of that time, of this time. And I'd invite you with me, if we might now, simply be still. and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. The peace of the Lord come as a healing balm for you and bring you Easter joy.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.